And you're listening to Waking Up with Carolyn Kraft online, Healthy Living with a Twist on Sirius 114. You can find us on the web at lime.com. It's a great place to go to join in, become a member, listen to various podcasts. You can also email me with your comments or questions by emailing wakingup@lime.com. We're about to have a wonderful journey today. This show, Waking Up with Carolyn Kraft, is an original program featuring conversations with some of the brightest and most well-known visionaries and futurists in the human potential movement. And I met my guest I guess it was 20 years ago. His music just popped open my heart at a time, totally unexpected. He put his fingers on the piano and started playing, and I bent over double. It was one of the most beautiful, exalting experiences, and that is how he has been touching lives for many, many years. And now he has written for us The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Some fabulous ideas in here that he's going to be presenting during this hour. We're also going to be blessed by some of his music. We'll tap into that a few times in and out of the breaks. He is an evocative piano master. He has touched and inspired hundreds of thousands of people. He's a Zen Dharma master, writer, and educator with a PhD from UC Berkeley, focusing on this wonderful idea. It was brand new to me, educating intuition. So I can't wait to talk with him about how he's taking this out into the world. Dr. Will Tuttle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Carolyn. It's great to be here.
So why don't we begin with, you know, when I went through this book, and the writing, is this something that you have been working on for years and years and years, or it's something you said, I have to write this right now?
Right. I worked on the book actually for 5 years, but there was probably a good 15 years before that it was all germinating within me, and finally I thought someone would write a book that gives the big picture about our cultures, treatment of animals, and nature, and how that affects us on a deep level, spiritually, psychologically, sociologically, anthropologically, and the whole history behind it, and how it creates what I think really is the main missing piece to the problems that we face in terms of environmental devastation, the breakdown of the family, the problems with terrorism and war, all the problems that we seem to grapple with and not do really a very good job with, I think basically are due to our underlying mentality of violence against animals for food. And it's very invisible in many ways. But
that's great. Yeah.
So I just kept following that thread and working with it, and I thought someone would write this book, and no one ever wrote it. So finally I thought, all right, I guess I'm the one who's supposed to write this book.
You know, as you're speaking, I want to let our audience know, you continue to make sort of a global globe in front of you,
right,
with your hands. And that was the impression that I got from just, I haven't been able to read it from start to finish, but from some of the ideas that you present, that it's almost like somebody like Will Tuttle has backed up and looked at the earth from a distance, and are you blending a lot of different ideas? Mm-hmm. It's not just about diet, but a lot of different ideas. I want to let our listeners know that some of the things that I would like for you to talk about during this hour and more, the taboo against knowing who you eat, the importance of leaving home. There's a whole chapter there. Floating dead ships. Pushing cows to produce, the mustache mask. These are just some of the exciting, very evocative, not just in your music, but in your writing, evocative ideas. What is it that you mainly wanted people to, you know, what was it that made you sit down and start writing?
Well, it's, I guess, the sense I have is that we are all born into a culture, and we take it for granted that it's a great culture, you know, and we don't really question the underlying assumptions of our culture. That's what leaving home is about. You mentioned that. Leaving home is the basic idea within Buddhism and Christianity, and I think all the major religions.
Leave thy father and mother in Christianity.
Right, basically it means, I think, symbolically to question the assumptions of my father and mother and my culture and the institutions of my culture, because number one, that's the only way I can really make spiritual progress is to question the programming that I've endured by growing up here. Besides that, it's the only way our culture will evolve, is if each one of us as individuals question these underlying assumptions. So that's what leaving home is. And I don't think most of us are conscious, really, of how much violence is in the background of our culture, kind of hidden. We don't realize, I think, most of us, that, for example, we are killing, slaughtering, 10 billion land animals a year, which, and that's only land animals, it doesn't include fish, which would probably double it to 25 or 30 billion animals, and there's only, 300 million of us doing that, so we're talking, between 6 and 10 million animals every day, so we have this whole army of sort of hidden people that do nothing but slaughter animals. And it creates an undercurrent, I think, of death and destruction and violence, because these animals are not treated well either. It's not like they live great lives and then we have to kill them. They're systematically, the mothers and babies are separated at birth, they're mutilated without anesthesia, castrated, all these things that are done, and very often are killed in very brutal ways, skinned alive and so forth. And all of that is hidden from us. So we don't see it. But on the other hand, it's everywhere. If we drive around in our culture, we see McDonald's here, Burger King there, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Arby's, all these outlets, and it permeates our culture, the idea that some animals, like dogs and cats, we really take care of, and we would never hurt them, and if anyone, like if a veterinarian was to castrate a dog or cat without anesthesia, he would lose his license, or she would lose her license. But they never use anesthesia, say, on pigs, because they're just for food. So we create this disconnect. It's this disconnection between having compassion for some but not others, and turning some beings into mere commodities and objects to be used while caring for others. And this is the deepest, in many ways, taboo in our culture to really talk about this, I think, because we just don't feel good about it. So we'd rather not know. And the industry would rather us not know either. But the way the animals are treated is so egregiously cruel, plus they're forced into so many toxins are fed to them, that the health effects on us and the environmental effects, people are starting to recognize more and more, are very serious. But what I talk about besides those things is the spiritual and psychological effects of not only forcing our brothers and sisters to do work that we would never want to do ourselves, but then to actually eat the vibrations of that and to create a culture where we make so many beings suffer, and we just think that it doesn't matter. In some ways it parallels 150 years ago with black people, but they were just black people. You just do whatever you want to them because they're kind of like animals, they just use them. And this idea of just using them and not caring about them, there's an old spiritual teaching that if you harm someone, you harm yourself more than you harm them. And the idea is that whatever we do to others, if it's harmful to them, and we just do it anyway, it kills a part of us. It kills our compassion, our ability to really be intelligent and awake to truly the ripples that radiate from our lives. So this
I want to also offer when you talk about not seeing that and it being, I'm thinking too of all the toxic landfills and so forth, that there's a lot of people involved. Right. Every now and then I'll watch the collectors of our garbage, pick it up, and I think that's what they're doing all day long. Mm. And then they take it to this landfill, and I think about just my husband and me and what, we recycle, and at the same time we still accumulate so much.
Right.
Just that whole idea that it's hidden. I think it's so powerful that this that is hidden from us.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really it. And see, this is, I think, we have this tendency in our culture to want to disconnect from what we don't want to see. And I think as I looked at this over the years, and I was by no means born into a vegetarian family, I was born into a family where we ate huge amounts of meat, dairy, and eggs, and I was told as a little boy that I would die if I didn't eat, animal protein, and that animals were just put here for us to use by God, and they don't have a soul, and it doesn't matter, that's what you got to do. And
wow.
So I went through that totally, but somehow, I feel very fortunate that some things happened to me when I was growing up and a little bit when I got older that I met people, and I lived in some communities where people were were vegetarians or were vegans, and I suddenly started making these connections. And I think the deep level of this unwillingness to look behind the curtain, say like you're saying, where the trash goes, or what happens to animals, or about the starving people, all of that I think really is born from the fact that as little kids we were all forced to eat animals as food and not to make the connection between what's on our plate and what's really happening to get on our plate.
We want to talk more. You've got also foods, power, some of the nature of intelligence, and much more. The World Peace Diet, and Dr. Will Tuttle is with us this hour. We're also going to be tapping into some of his music that he also brings with his wisdom. So stay with us. You're listening to Lyme, Healthy Living with a Twist, and I'm your host for Waking Up with Carolyn Kraft. And Will be back with us right after this break.